This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 21st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll talk about the resurgence of burlesque shows in the Chicago area. And we'll hear about your AM 580 weather forecast for the weekend in Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. Champaign's mayor could be allowed to raise the city's bar entry age to 21 over a two-day period. The city's Liquor Advisory Commission endorsed the idea Thursday when reviewing the results of this year's unofficial St. Patrick's Day. Mayor Jerry Schweihart says he was encouraged after a couple of bars voluntarily raised their entry age to 21 during the event this year. He says it deterred some of the destructive activity and crowds during the weekend of binge drinking around campus bars when compared to years past. If the city council granted him the authority for the emergency order, it would require 24 hours notice and criteria describing specific reasons for the temporary change. Yesterday, Liquor Advisory Commission member Tracy Herbert cited concerns that it could be misused in the future. Schweihart says language in the ordinance will be crafted to keep that from happening.
We'll try and craft it to take care of Tracy's concern that, you know, say another mayor could come in and say, you know, well, I'm going to do it for Mother's Day and football games and everything else. I try and make sure that the language is tight enough that it couldn't be abused. It'd have to be used for specific dangers.
Schweihart says the house parties associated with the unofficial promotion didn't seem to be as much of a problem as those tied to bars, and he says enforcing such an order would free up more local and area police to keep those parties under control. The mayor says it's not clear when the city council will consider the proposal. One juror and political fundraiser Tony Resco's fraud trial has been dismissed. Court officials yesterday did not give a reason. Earlier yesterday, an admitted fixer-turned-government witness testified that he got Resco to back an $81 million hospital construction project by dangling a million-dollar bribe. Prosecutors contend Resco controlled the Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board, which had life-or-death power over such plans. Government witness Stuart Levine says Resco initially opposed Mercy Health System's plan to build the hospital in Crystal Lake. Levine says Resco's turnabout came at a meeting, during which Levine says he told Resco they could make a lot of money if the deal went through. State officials say it could be several days before the full extent of flood damage in southern Illinois is known. A spokeswoman for the Illinois Emergency Management Agency says water is running off of hills and farmland. On top of that, the land is very saturated. IEMA spokeswoman Patty Thompson says authorities won't know how severe the damage is until cresting rivers, streams, and creeks recede. Yesterday, 19 counties in southern Illinois were declared state disaster areas. The water surged up to cover roadways, forced scattered evacuations, and caused two deaths. Illinois' disaster declaration means communities will have access to a variety of state resources to help with flood and storm-related damage. At least one central Illinois county is taking to heart recent stories of pharmaceutical contamination in water supplies. The recycling coordinator in Vermilion County has scheduled a week-long recycling effort for unused and outdated drugs found in medicine cabinets. Lynn Walgamont says for some, the traditional way to get rid of them was to flush them down the toilet. She believes that's why drug traces have wound up in drinking water, though no such evidence has been found yet in Champaign or Vermilion counties.
You know, I don't think that studies have been done, but if you just think about it from a common sense perspective, if everybody's doing it and we're not, our water companies are not predisposed to look for those traces yet, it's got to be true.
The Carl Rx Express facility on Danville's Fairchild Street will accept old medicines for proper disposal all next week beginning Monday. Walgamont says they'll accept any prescription or over-the-counter drug except for controlled substances. They'll also take old mercury thermometers. A Chicago City Council committee has voted to denounce the University of Chicago for its refusal to rid its financial portfolio of $1 million invested in companies doing business in the Sudan. Alderman Billy Ocasio, who chairs the Human Relations Committee, says the university is taking the position of genocide for its refusal to divest from the North African nation. The University of Chicago spokeswoman Julie Peterson says the decision not to divest was the result of very careful consideration. She noted the university also did not dump South African investments in the 1980s. The committee's decision to denounce the university came on a non-binding resolution. Ocasio says the resolution is backed by 40 aldermen and could be discussed at the next full city council meeting. Illinois Senior Senator Dick Durbin says the declining image of the U.S. can only be changed with new leadership, including the election of a new president. As Jenna Dooley reports, he believes America's image can be restored.
Dick Durbin says the global attitude toward the United States has reached an all-time low. He says conflicts overseas have weakened how the rest of the world views the U.S. Durbin hopes that will change when Americans put another leader in the White House.
George W. Bush cannot convey a new image of the United States. He is the image of the United States in its most negative terms around the world, with very few exceptions. And I think it'll take a new leader. I hope it's a Democrat, if not even a Republican, to come in and realize this and say the United States is going to take a different approach to dealing with the rest of the world.
Durbin says he would like to boost funding for and participation in non-military programs, like the Peace Corps. He says these will put a more positive face on the country's humanitarian efforts. I'm Jenna Dooley.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. An old form of entertainment is experiencing a revival in Chicago. Burlesque is appearing in strip joints, upscale bars, and even a month-long festival that's underway now. Lynette Kalsness went on a search to find out why.
I'm walking forward and back and forward. Good, and back. Take the hands up the body, up and down. That's a good slap, guys.
A dozen women are here at Arabesque Studio on the northwest side in t-shirts and yoga pants. They've come to master the sexy walk in hip bumps.
I bring out the burlesque monster in every lady, it's true. You know, a girl can't resist feathers and sequins and a little booty jiggle. It's pretty fun.
Michelle L'Amour leads the cardio burlesque class. L'Amour, of course, is her stage name.
I think burlesque is, you know, seeing its time in the sun here because there's this innocence and charm about it.
Everything's so sexualized and it's, I think we see too much. So burlesque tends to, it's like a peekaboo. You're not seeing everything. There's a lot left to the imagination.
This is Janelle Galea's first class.
I think burlesque is just beautiful. I think more women can feel comfortable doing it because it's just real women with real curves that are sexy as hell and, you know, just letting their sexy woman out.
Like Galea, the women in L'Amour's class are not exotic dancers. They're scientists, teachers, and librarians in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Most will never perform on stage. Attorney Lynette Kucharski is one of the exceptions. Like many performers, she kept her day job, and burlesque is her hobby.
I think I'm a lot more confident in myself. My physical presence, absolutely, but also just in my own sort of inner strength.
And it's that kind of mentality that DePaul professor Rachel Steyer says is behind the new burlesque. Steyer, who wrote a book, Striptease, The Untold History of the Girly Show, says that's in stark contrast to the past when women used to perform burlesque for survival.
Now, I'm not saying that women today are doing it, you know, out of sheer love. I mean, I think that everyone wants to be paid for the work that they do. But the choices that women have today are obviously so much wider than the choices that women had in the 20s, 30s, and 40s that I think there are other things at stake.
It's so easy to say, like, hey, I'm a burlesque performer, and everybody's like, oh gosh, you know, you're like stripping for money, you know, and just like rolls their eyes at you.
That's Lola Martinet of the amazing bendable, posable Dolls of Doom, also using a stage name.
It's really not about that. It's really very creative, and it's art. It is feminine expression.
Burlesque today is a strange blend of the striptease, performance art, and politics with a heavy dose of irony. In fact, Angela Eve Fries of Eve's Parlor in Chicago thinks the new burlesque may have moved a bit far from its erotic roots.
I love the politics. I love the whole thing about theatrics, but sometimes there's something really great to be said about a girl that really knows how to move and take her clothes off sexy and really, really dance at the same time.
Fries is up on stage at the Admiral Theater in Albany Park, pulling up the skirt of her goth Bo Peep dress to the music of the Del Moroccos. She's co-producer of Angela Eve's Twisted Tassel Burlesque Festival, which features local and national acts, so the quality is a bit uneven. The Admiral normally advertises totally nude showgirls, but burlesque dancers only go down to pasties and G-strings. On the sidelines, though, the regulars still perform lap dances. Fries fits into both worlds. She's an exotic dancer, but she's also a performance artist and documentary photographer.
There's got to be a way to cross the border so I can feel more artistically involved with this and have it not just be about how sexy can I be to make some more money.
Artistic inclinations aside, there's still something about stripping that makes many people uneasy, says Professor Rachel Steyer.
It collects. It's like a garbage bag for a lot of stray feelings and ideas about sexuality in American life that we have.
Steyer says we're still struggling with a puritanical vibe. And as a culture, she says, we're both repulsed by burlesque and compelled by it. I'm Lynette Kaltzmus, Chicago Public Radio.
In the forecast for the region, mostly cloudy skies, a slight chance of showers this morning, then chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, the high around 58. Cloudy skies this evening, the low around 30, mostly cloudy Saturday, colder, the high around 42. Mostly cloudy Saturday evening, the low around 28. Partly sunny Sunday, there's a chance of rain or snow in the morning, then a chance of rain in the afternoon, the high around 45. Mostly cloudy Sunday evening, the low around 25 degrees. Monday through Tuesday, partly cloudy skies will have highs around 45 and lows around 30. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.